Welcome to our first ever podcast for Impression, putting the motive in automotive. Today, I am delighted to be joined by David Clark. David is the Managing Director of Auto Supplies Group, which includes Auto Supplies Chesterfield, Butler's Automotive Barnsley, and Leisure Ways of Rotherham. For those that don't know, Auto Supplies began trading more than 30 years ago as a paint factor and rapidly progressed into general factoring. The company's growth has been phenomenal, and this has included acquisitions of Butler's Automotive and more recently Leisure Ways of Rotherham. Today, the company runs a fleet of more than 100 vans and has over 150 members of staff. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mark.
I want to take you back, if I can, to 23rd of March when the Prime Minister announces the lockdown. Now, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, but also as someone in the automotive industry, what goes through your mind at that point and decisions that you're going to have to take?
I think my initial reaction on 23rd of March was that my business would have to close, and also my customers' businesses would have to close as well. On top of that, probably the most important thing that went through my mind was that all my staff could possibly lose their jobs. So initially, when I saw that broadcast on TV, I'd have to say it were a shock to my system. After that initial shock, I took stock. I looked into it and researched it a little bit further and realised that we could stay open, obviously only to service the garage trade and key workers that were still working. So, yeah, that were my initial take on that announcement on that Monday night.
And I guess that's a range of emotions because if I remember, it was almost developing hour by hour in that the automotive industry could remain open. And how was that week for you? Because obviously that week they announced the MOT extension as well.
Yeah, I think, as you've just mentioned, Mark, it weren't an easy decision to make to stay open. A lot of my staff on that Monday night rang me and said, do we come into work? Can we not come into work because we're afraid to come into work? Will we have a job? A lot of customers rang me that night as well and said, David, will your business still be open tomorrow? Can we still get parts? I think I took probably over 100 phone calls I received within an hour of that announcement being made.
Wow.
And obviously, from my point of view, being told that, or potentially being told that the following morning my business would have to close after 30 years, were probably one of the worst things I've heard in my working career. So, you know, that night and that time, that date will stay with me probably until I retire. So it's sort of etched in my memory, that one, Mark.
Right.
But yeah, it's been a difficult one. You know, some people wanted to close. Some of my staff didn't want to work. Some of my customers wanted us to shut. Some wanted us to open. But I made the decision that we would stay open and we'd work using a skeleton staff and we'd carry on supplying garages and key workers.
And as you say, when having to make those decisions, it's not necessarily just a simple case of we're going to stay open.
No, it were a difficult decision really, Mark. If I'd have shut, I would probably have kept a lot of people happy. But back of my mind, my biggest concern were long term, if we shut, what revenue are we likely to lose and how difficult is it going to be to start back up again? So I had to look at short term implications, but also long term implications and damage to business that I've built up. So it weren't an easy decision, but it was a decision that I had to make. And I stood by that decision, and I still stand by it today.
And that process of staying open, it also involves a lot of activity from yourself, doesn't it? Because we're facing this global pandemic, and the way business is transacting isn't going to be the same. So looking at your response and also to provide or to look after the health and well-being of not just staff and employees, but customers, you've obviously had to input a number of practices and procedures in place.
Yeah. Obviously, from day one, Mark, we've implemented and gone along with guidelines that government wanted us to follow. Social distancing, increase in hygiene, everything that government have put forward to us, we've followed. Obviously, to look after the best interests of our staff and as customers and the well-being. So, yeah, it's not been easy. We've had to re-look at all those working practices. We've had to do a risk assessment on every business. We've had to pull a consultant in to give us advice, and we've then to implement it all. But as we stand today, everything has been covered, and any time now, all our counters will be fitted with screens as protection. So, you know, we've covered as much as we can cover.
And that must instill a lot of confidence in employees, but also customers as well, because, as you said, on that night, you've received a lot of phone calls, I'm sure, from suppliers, from staff, but also from garages as well that use auto supplies every day.
Yeah, I've got a mixture, Mark. I've got some customers ringing me, will you be open tomorrow because I've got a car that needs repairing, and other customers saying, David, for foreseeable future, we're going to be short. So it were a mixture, Mark. Then I got staff ringing me saying, David, do we have to come in tomorrow? We've just seen an announcement that all businesses have got to shut. You know, what do we do? And I said, look, come in tomorrow morning. I'll read up and I'll look to see what we need to do. And then I'll make an announcement on Tuesday morning. And I pulled all my management team together and said, this is what we're going to do. This is what we need to do to conform. And this is what I believe we need to do to see us through to the other end.
So a fantastic amount of sort of leadership there. You haven't sort of sat back by any means.
No. In all fairness, Mark, it would have been easy to bury my head in sand, to shut for 3 or 4 weeks until it blew over. But I honestly believe I would have created long-term damage for my business, because customers that did stay open would have wanted products which I could have not supplied. So although I did suffer criticism, I still believe it were the right decision to make.
And just in terms of that supply of products, has there been any disruption to supply of I know Auto Supplies prides itself on its availability.
I'd have to say that supplier products to us and supplier products from us to our customers, considering everything, you know, that's happened, has been good. What you've got to bear in mind, though, Mark, is that we were only selling 50% of what we normally sell.
Yeah.
So our stock holding were at a maximum level. We were sitting on a large amount of stock, hoping for a good second quarter to this year. So stock availability to our customers has always been good. Obviously, because we were only selling half as much as what we normally sell, we had to look at the staff we employed. 50% of our staff were placed on furlough leave within a week. But we also took into account that we needed to keep offering good customer service. So it was a balancing act every day, looking at sales, looking at areas that we need to increase or decrease. And we're still doing that today. This afternoon, I'll be spending maybe an hour with our management team looking at bringing additional staff back off furlough.
Going back even further, before we do go into the present or the future, but how did you start the year? How did the group start January, February and two-thirds of March? Was it looking like it was going to be a good quarter?
That's a good question, that, Mark. And in March would have been a record month for all three sites. It would have been the best month that Auto Supplies has had in 30 years. Butlers were on for a record month, and so were Leisureways. So we stocked up, obviously, knowing that we were in for a really, really good trading time. And then, obviously, last week of March, and still to this day, trade has not been as good as what we would have liked. It's gradually starting to increase. More people are coming back to work. And the good thing is, I think government are encouraging people back to work and also encouraging people to use their own cars as opposed to public transport. So that's all helping, and we're seeing a gradual increase in sales.
And on the subject of government and government support, as a business owner, do you think that's been... these are complex times that we're in. Has it been helpful to your business?
It has, yeah. I think what government have done, especially at furlough scheme, has helped to retain staff jobs. Without that furlough scheme in place, there's an argument that would have said a lot of these staff would have been made redundant, they would have had no job. So the fact that government have paid 80% of their wages means that all these staff have been retained in employment. So, yeah, I think government have done a good job in that respect to help business. I think some other initiatives have done regarding grants for customers. I think that's how customers keep afloat. And I think they've done a good job to try and keep businesses going in a difficult time.
Can I talk to you about a period sort of around Easter? Because I noticed that there was almost a bit of a turning point in terms of the run-up to Easter, and then coming out of Easter, businesses tended to increase gradually. Is that something you've seen as well across all three businesses?
Yeah, definitely. First 3 weeks, we were running at possibly 50% of a normal daily sales. After Easter, we saw a steady increase where garages were starting to come back. Our garages were starting to get more work coming through, and today we're probably running at about 80% of a normal day's takings, and again it's gradually increasing. So I think turning point were that Easter bank holiday weekend. I think then people over that weekend decided to make a return to work. And that shows in us increasing daily sales.
And moving forward, as we get closer to today, have you seen a sort of a change in the tone of the morale of the team as well in terms of coming back into work? Or
I think there's been a gradual increase in people wanting to come back to work, staff and customers. I think there's still a tone of wariness there where people are still a little bit subdued and wary, and you know what's happening and what do we need to do. But overall, I would say it's a lot better than it were 8 to 10 weeks ago.
That's fantastic. And is it something in terms of where we are right now? Are you selling more of something that you've never sold before? You wouldn't expect to sell in 25 degree temperatures or...
Yeah, if you look at all our product groups, the one product group that's outselling every other is batteries.
Okay.
If we look at what we're selling April and May against April and May last year, we've seen a big increase. And that's obviously because people park the cars for 5 or 6 weeks, suddenly go back to work, and they're needing a new battery. So battery sales have been really good. Sales on all other product groups have took a bit of a dip, but again, that were only to be expected. So yeah, batteries, normally peak season would be winter. What we're finding this year, and it's a big anomaly, is our peak season seems to be April and May.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it is interesting. I guess, as you said, as people are starting to use their vehicles again, having had them left on the drive for quite a long time.
Yeah, that's what seems to have happened, Mark. And not just batteries, but we're finding other things as well that normally are a winter product, but because the car's been stood for so many weeks, that we've seen an increase in other areas. Brakes is a good one as well. Calipers, brakes seem to be selling well as well.
Okay. And what sort of, looking where we are today and this almost gradual return to a new kind of normal, would you say, looking into your crystal ball, what would be the sort of wider implications for the market going forward?
Wider implications, I would have to say that what you've just said as a new normal is definitely a new normal. What we've had to do is to adapt as working practices. For example, at one time we'd allow 10, 15, 20 people into our shops. Today, we're only allowing a maximum of 4 people.
Right.
We're working social distancing inside our warehouse, inside our offices, in front of our retail and trade counters. So, again, I foresee that this is going to go on for a long length of time. It might go on forever, Mark. We might get into habit of doing it.
Yeah.
That day when we don't have to do it, we'll carry on doing it. Many things have changed, really, and I think above all else, it's as working practices. I think a lot of our suppliers were working from home. At one time, we felt a need to see them on a regular basis. Today, we've not seen them for 3-4 months. And, you know, we seem to be getting by. So it's a different way of working.
Mm.
And I think that will carry on. It'll find its level. But I think it'll change forever. If we look back to how we worked 3 months ago and how we're going to be working in 3 months, it's different, Mark.
Mm. And finally, going... or looking back at where, or the journey, if we want to call it that, over the last 2 months, what advice would you give to somebody who is probably not as further along in terms of implementing the number of practices that you have? Have you seen that there's businesses that have rushed to reopen or they've rushed to do something?
First and foremost, I would have to say that if you go back 7 or 8 weeks, were to make a decision and to stand by that decision, I'd then say, if you decided to stay off and you've now come back to work, you must implement all these measures as soon as you can. I mean, it's government are saying we've got to do it. We need to do it to look after our staff, and we need to do it to look after our customers. And I think, look at the entire running of the business, analyse it and restructure it, because we are working in a different world, a different environment that's more demanding than it were 3 months ago. So it's all changing, Mark, and I think it's a case of business owners, MDs, taking stock, looking at how they run the businesses and adapting to suit.
I think that's excellent advice. I think that's all we've got time for, because I know that you're very busy and about to jump into other meetings. But, David, I wanted to say thank you for being part of our first ever podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, David. Thank you for listening to the first ever podcast from Impression Communications, Putting the Motive in Automotive. We'll be having a number of these interviews. I hope you agree that was absolutely fascinating with David. I could have asked a million questions, and David has agreed to come back to be interviewed in the coming weeks, and we can revisit the business and we can talk in greater detail. You can contact me via my LinkedIn, via our website www.impressioncommunications.co.uk, or drop me an email at mark@impressioncommunications.co.uk. Stay safe, and we'll speak soon. Thank you.